Well, take your Bibles tonight, open to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. Hebrews, chapter 13. Hebrews, chapter 13. Hebrews, chapter 13. Obviously, today or yesterday was election day in our country, and just really seemed like the Lord was in that. We praise God for that. We blessed, and you know, a lot of times we can look at the elections and we can think that, well, now because maybe a certain person or a party or whatever that we wanted in may be in position now, and so now that means everything's going to be okay and things. And the problem is sometimes even when the elections go maybe the way that we want them to go, we forget and to really understand that God's still in control, right? We always want to say when things go bad, God is in control, but when things go good, God is still in control. And we have to be careful not to take our eyes off of God during this and just put it on a person or a party or something like that, right? You know, you think about the song that we just sang, Jesus paid it all. Then what was the next words? Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe, right? Not all to a party, not all to a man, but all to him, Jesus Christ, we owe. And so, you know, there's a lot of people that may not be happy with the way the election turned out. Obviously, there's a lot of people that are happy with the way the election turned out. But that really isn't the question, whether you're happy or you're not happy. The question is, no matter who's in power, what are we going to do for God? What are we going to do for the Lord Jesus Christ, right? And so let's not just think, well, now the election's over, you know, obviously for, I don't know, maybe a year, 6 months, 8 months, a year, whatever. People have been talking about, you know, the election, we need this person in power, and we need this person in power, whatever. And we can become so focused on those things that we fail to realize what is the most important thing, and that is still doing what God wants us to do. And then now that we can say, oh, the election's over and everything, you know, maybe it went the way we wanted it to go, and we just kind of sat back and be like, okay, now everything's good. Wait, God's still in control, and we still have a job to do. And that's sort of our responsibility as Christians, no matter who is in power, right? No matter who's in power, no matter who's in control, God's desire is that we continue to serve him, right? Not a person, not a party, but we serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I hope that even through this, you know, we still will not forget that God is in control and there's a job for us to do. Maybe, you know, during this time, maybe the job that we have to do might be a little bit easier, but we still have a job to do, and we need to make sure that we're doing that. No, that's not part of the message tonight, but I figured people are going to say, is the pastor going to say anything about the election tonight or anything? But so I figured I'd say something about it. But the most important thing is, again, not who is or not who isn't in power, but God's in control. God's in control, and we can trust him. Ephesians chapter 13, we're going to read verses 1 through 6 together. Ephesians chapter 13. And let's read verses 1 through 6. If you don't have a Bible, the words will be on the screen there. But let's read these verses together out loud. Yes. Sorry. I'm sorry? What did I say? Did I say Ephesians? Try to find Ephesians chapter 13. Go ahead. See if you can. If you can find Ephesians chapter 13, you are amazing, right? I'm glad the guys up in the sound booth know what I'm talking about, even when I mess up, right? They got Hebrews 13 up there. We're in Hebrews chapter 13. My apologies. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 through 6. Let's read that together. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. So we started looking last week at chapter 13 here. And again, chapter 13, as the author is kind of concluding this letter that he is writing to the Hebrews, to the Jews. And throughout chapters 1 through 12, there has been a desire for the author to help the Hebrews in understanding who Jesus is. Again, there were some Christian believers that still needed help in knowing truth. There were some that were on the fence wanting to know, should they put their faith in Christ, should they not? There were those that were just completely unbelievers. And so through chapters 1 through 12, he's been trying to, again, show that Christ is sufficient, that the law is not necessary for salvation. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. He is the final sacrifice. And so there doesn't need to be any more sacrifice because of what Jesus Christ has done. But now in chapter 13, I believe he really focuses specifically on those who are believers in Christ. And he's speaking specifically to those people here in these closing statements. And he gives us some spiritual assignments that we're looking at, right? These are some spiritual assignments that he's giving to these Hebrew believers that I believe we can take today as well. And we saw last week the very first spiritual assignment was to what? Love one another, right? Verse number one, let brotherly love continue, right? And we're talking about how as Christians, we have to show brotherly love, right? If we can't show brotherly love to one another as believers in Christ, how is the world going to think that we can love them who don't know Christ, right? Who we know are the enemies of Christ, right? So there has to be that love that is shown. In fact, that's what Jesus commanded so many times. He says at the end of his ministry, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. And so over and over and over, Jesus speaks about how important this is. And so here in this last closing statement that he makes to these Hebrew believers, he says, let brotherly love continue. So that's the first spiritual assignment that he gives to us, to love one another. But notice the second spiritual assignment that we find tonight in verse number 2. He says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. So here's the second spiritual assignment that he gives to us, and that is to be hospitable, or to show hospitality, right? Be hospitable. To be hospitable, right? And it's interesting, whenever we look through the New Testament here, when we find the word hospitality, although it's not specifically mentioned here, the word hospitality means, anybody want to take a guess? It means the love of strangers. That's what the word hospitality means. It means the love of strangers, right? And think about what he says. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. So what is he saying here in this idea of being hospitable? We are to be kind, and we are to show the love of Jesus Christ. Not only are we to love one another, but we are to be kind, and we're to show the love of Christ to people, right? We are to be hospitable. Now, again, in our day and age today, this is a little bit different because in the Bible times and in many countries still today, hospitality is a means of friendship, right? Today, if you were to go through Eaton or any of these small rural towns or whatever, even though there's kind of a community atmosphere, right? You go up and you knock on someone's door and you introduce yourself to them and say, my name is Andrew and I'm from First Baptist Church. I'd like to invite you to church. You'll be lucky if you get 30 seconds with them, right? My son Levi and I were out the other day on outreach, and it was the very first door we knocked on. We knocked on the door. The lady kind of opened up the door a little bit. I said, my name is Andrew, I'm from, and she said, nope, don't need that, and slammed the door. Like, okay, guess she doesn't need that, right? I would venture to say that is not the definition of hospitality, right? But if we were to go to Uganda, and some of you that have been to Uganda, I think you'll kind of understand this, or if you've been in a third world country, if I was to maybe to go up to someone's house or a hut or something like that, many of them don't have like doors like what we do and things, and so you don't knock on someone's door. You say a specific word. It's hodi. So hodi, that means hello. Anybody home? We're here. Yeah, it's just kind of a generic word. So you say hodi, and then maybe somebody in the house will come out, or somebody will come around the corner, and you'll tell them, hey, you know, I'm Andrew, and I'm from, you know, Imbali Independent Baptist Church or whatever, and we want to invite you to church. Oh, we're so glad you're here. Come inside. And they have you come inside, and they'll have you sit down. And, you know, even though they have no idea who you are a complete stranger to them. They have no idea who you are, right? But they'll have you come inside. They'll have you sit down. If they have something in the house, they may try to bring you some type of snack. It might be little cookies or what they call biscuits, or it might be peanuts, what they call G-nuts, you know. But they'll bring something to try to show their hospitality. What are they? They're trying to be hospitable. Hospitality is very important because it's a way to develop a friendship there, right? I think really when we look at our society today, we're lacking hospitality. We lack hospitality, okay? I mean, there's just a lack of hospitality. And I'm not just talking about the love of strangers. I'm not just talking about hospitality with people we don't know. I'll be very honest with you. If somebody just came and knocked on my door out at my house and I didn't know who this person was, I don't know if I would be like, hey, come on in, have a seat, you know. I'd be a little leery myself, understandable. Now, in Uganda, that'd be a completely different thing, but we've lost that. But not only in that aspect, but I think we've also even lost the aspect of hospitality in the church among believers, right? You know, what happens in so many times in so many churches, you know, we come into church, we sit down, we come through the doors, we may say hello to maybe the person who's standing at the door, but then what do? It's like the first thing we do is we got to find our seat, because we got to make sure nobody sits in our seat, right? Heaven forbid if somebody sits in my seat, right? So we got to make sure, the first thing we do, we find our seat, we make sure we put our Bible down there or our coat, because nobody's taking our seat, right? And so we make sure we have our seat, and then usually what seems to tend to happen is we just sit, right? We'll just sit down and just kind of sit there until the service starts or whatever, and then as soon as the service is over, what do? Out the door, right? And we don't really spend a lot of time fellowshipping as believers and things, and even outside of the church walls, there's not a lot of hospitality. There's not a lot of fellowship, right? And this is what he's saying. Think about this. Verse number 2, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. So again, he's giving this idea of hospitality. And again, because this was such an important aspect to the Jews, to the Hebrews, this idea of hospitality. But you have to understand something too. By saying this, this was also very dangerous. To say this to these Jewish Christians was very dangerous. Why? Because there were those that were seeking to harm them. There were those, just like before Paul became a believer and an apostle, what was he doing? He was trying to find believers and put them in jail and trying to persecute them. And so there is a dangerous element to this as well, but he's saying, hey, look, as Christians, it's our responsibility to be hospitable, right? If there's anybody that should be hospitable, guess who it should be? Should be Christians, right? Christians ought to be hospitable, right? To invite someone for a meal or to, just to get together or something, just to extend that time of fellowship, right? Can I tell you something? I truly believe that one of the ways that a church truly becomes stronger and united and is able to do more for the cause of Christ is when it is a hospitable church. A hospitable church, right? I remember saying this. I've used this illustration many times, but I remember when I first came to First Baptist and I became the pastor, Pastor Hill gave me a stack of visitor cards. And, I didn't know what to do, so I just took the stack of visitor cards and I just started calling people. You know, I was like, I'm the new pastor. Want to come? And I remember I called this one guy, and I called him and I said, hey, my name is Andrew. I'm the new pastor of First Baptist Church, and I'd love to have you come. I saw that you visited. I don't remember if it was a couple months since he visited or something like that. And I'm not saying this was definitely not how it was when I came, but this just happened, right? And this is what he said. He said, I will never come back to that church. I'll never go back to First Baptist Church. Well, that's not what you expect, right? I mean, I'm the new pastor. Of course you want to come, right? And he said, I'll never come back to First Baptist Church. And that took me back, and I said, well, do you mind if I ask why? I said, why would you not come back? He said, I came to that church. He said, I came in, I sat down, the service was over, I got up and I left. He said, not one person said hello to me. Not one person. He said, not one person came and shook my hand. Not one person said, I'm glad to see you. He said, not one. Now, I wasn't there. I don't know. Maybe the guy was exaggerating. Maybe somebody greeted him at the door. I don't know. I'm just telling you what he told me. And again, I'm not saying that there's no way, I guarantee you, there's no way that happened on a regular basis, if that even did happen, right? But I'm just telling you. But can I tell you something? I mentioned that to the church right after I became the pastor, and I said, you know, folks, that should never happen here. That should never happen. And as far as I know, to this day, since that time, that's never happened to anybody that's come to First Baptist Church and visited. In fact, most of the time when we go and visit somebody, they're like, man, you people are friendly. I mean, there's people coming up all the time, right? But you know what can happen? You know what can happen, though, is we kind of get used to who is here, right? And we kind of get used to, hey, God's blessing, and maybe the church is full on Sunday or whatever. We just kind of get used to it, right? And what happens, we get back into that rut again, and we just come in, we find our seat, we get where we're going, we do what we do, and we don't even take time to notice if there's anybody in the church that might be new. We don't take time to notice if there's anybody in the church that we might not know. You know, because sometimes, I mean, heaven forbid, if we're on this side to go over here and talk to somebody from this side. You know, I mean, we got north and south. I don't know what you people are in the middle, but, you know, I mean, heaven forbid, right? And what happens? We kind of get in a rut, right? We're coming in, we're doing our thing, we're getting our kids to our classes, we sit in our seat, and we don't really take time to be hospitable, right? And we've got to be careful with that, church. We've got to be careful to recognize that, hey, if there are visitors here, we want to make sure that we show the love of Christ to them, right? And we want to make sure that they know they're welcome, and we go up to them, and we talk to them, and find out a little bit. I challenge you, right? I'm going to challenge you, okay? Those of you who are here tonight, this Sunday, when you come in, and you put your stuff down, and you get ready to sit down, I want you to, oh, wait a minute. The pastor just talked about this on Sunday. And I challenge you, look around the auditorium and see if you can find somebody that you don't know. You can find somebody you don't know, right? And if you see somebody you don't know, don't be like, oh, yay, there's somebody here I don't know. That's good. Go talk to them, right? Leave where you're at. Get up. If you have to cross two aisles, right? Or if you have to cross one aisle, right? Go talk to them. Find out who they are. This is what he says. We are to be hospitable. Now, think about this. Again, if I can't do this in the church, right? If I can't be hospitable in the church, how am I going to be hospitable outside the church? If I'm not going to be hospitable to people that are my own family and that I love and are part of the body of Christ, how am I going to be hospitable to strangers? That's what he said, right? Be not forgetful to entertain strangers. So again, that's people we don't know, really, right? So if I can't be hospitable in an environment that I'm comfortable in that I know, how am I going to be able to be hospitable outside? And so this is what he's saying. We've got to make sure that there's that hospitality. Think about what Peter says. Excuse me, in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, he says this, and above all things. Now, anytime you see that, you got to, above all things, you know what that means? Pretty important, right? I mean, this is pretty high on the list, right? Above all things, you know, this is to the top of the list here. Above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. What do you think that means? Love, right? Well, isn't that interesting? Isn't that what we just found here in Hebrews? Let brotherly love continue. So he says, above all things, First Peter chapter 4, verse number 8, he says, above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. And then, notice then the second thing that he says here, use hospitality. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. So, man, I don't know if the guy that wrote Hebrews was talking to the guy that wrote Peter, or Peter was talking to him, or maybe they both just understood what Jesus said. You gotta love one another and be hospitable. Love one another and be hospitable. This is what he's saying, right? He says, show this hospitality. Now, again, think about this. He uses this example, right? He says, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Anybody want to take a guess where this comes from? Again, remember, he's writing to Jews. He's writing to the Hebrews, right? So what do you think he would be insinuating or referring to here when he says some have entertained angels unawares? Yeah, I think he's going back to Genesis, right? Again, you're talking to people who know the first five books of the Bible, the law, the Torah. They know these things, right? They know the stories. And he's saying, hey, what happened? Abraham, they were out in his area, and all of a sudden these three guys come up. Now, Abraham's a pretty wealthy guy. It'd have been very easy for Abraham just to say, hey, you know, there's three guys out there. These three strangers are out there. You know, servants, you guys go take care of him. I've got other stuff to do. It'd have been very easy for Abraham to delegate it and say, hey, you guys take care of these strangers. You know, maybe give them something to eat, give them some water, whatever. Again, in that day, it was very customary if somebody was traveling. Again, they didn't have cars and things like that, so a lot of it was done walking. And so anytime you would come upon somebody's camp or where they were staying, it was very customary to give them water or to give them nourishment or something. And so these three guys are coming out of the heat here, and Abraham sees them. He could have easily said, hey, you guys take care of them. But he didn't. He took care of them. He was the one that took care of them. And of course, guess what we find? Guess who those three were? One of them was the Lord Jesus. The other two were angels, right? And then, of course, the Lord ends up staying, and Abraham provides food for them, and he gives them the hospitality that is there. And then, of course, as they're leaving, what happens? The other two angels keep going, and Abraham there begins to talk to the Lord. And, of course, this is when the Lord reveals to him that, hey, he's going to go to Sodom and Gomorrah, and he's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And that's when Abraham begins this negotiation with the Lord. He said, well, if there's 50 righteous, if there's 40 righteous, if there's 30 righteous, if there's 20 righteous, if there's just 10 righteous, Lord, would you spare the city? And the Lord says, okay, I'll spare the city for 10 righteous. Well, where'd the other two go? There were three that came. There's only one that he's talking to. Where'd the other two go? They went on to Sodom and Gomorrah, right? And what happened? Guess who they found? Lot, right? And they found Lot. And hey, it's getting ready to get dark or whatever. And Lot says, hey, what are you going to, you got to come to my house. You're going to come to my house, right? They were showing hospitality. He says, look, it's so important that we understand the importance of hospitality. He says, because even there have been those that have entertained angels unawares. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that every time you have somebody over, you're like, is this an angel? Is this an angel? Right? Because I'll tell you this. If you've ever had my family over, you know my kids are demons, okay? So there's no, you know, it's not my family you're talking about, are angels, right? I mean, maybe that's your family, but not my family. There's no angels there, right? But he's saying, hey, you've got to understand, you don't, and it's not, don't misunderstand me, it's not about the angels. It's not what he's talking about, right? What he's talking about is through that situation, what happened? As Abraham is there talking to the Lord, what happens? God tells Abraham that he's going to have a son. Through that hospitality, Abraham was richly blessed through that, right? Even, again, the situation was vastly different and just a horrible situation that took place, but even with Lot, what happens? If it wasn't for those angels, Lot would have died in the city with everybody else, right? So he's saying it's not so much about, you know, thinking, oh, well, hey, maybe you're entertaining angels or whatever, but it's the idea of the blessing that you receive in being hospitable. The blessing that you receive in showing the love of Christ to others, right? That's the idea. When we are being hospitable and we are saying, hey, I just simply want to show the love of Christ to people. It could be my brothers and sisters in Christ. It could be a stranger, whatever. I just want to show the love of Christ to someone, right? What happens? By doing that, God says we're the ones that are actually blessed. As we are blessing them, we're the ones that receive a blessing as well. And this is why he says it's so important that we remember to do this. He says, be not forgetful to do this, right? He says, don't forget. Be hospitable, right? I mean, there, especially when you think about the church, you know, there are so many people that we can be hospitable to, right? We can be hospitable to those that are elderly. We can be hospitable to a young couple. Man, maybe there's a young couple and maybe their family, they're just kind of starting their family or they just got married or they're trying to figure out married life. Man, wouldn't it be great to have them over and for a meal and just try to impart maybe some wisdom if you've been married for 20, 30, 40 years? Man, and try to help them out there, right? I mean, you've got a family that's, they've got a young family, they've got young kids and maybe God blessed you with children and you raised your children. Man, have them over and help them, you know, encourage them some way. You know, don't run their life, but I'm saying be an encouragement, be hospitable to them. Think about the college students when they come back, right? I mean, when we have college students that come in, over Christmas time, maybe there might be some for Thanksgiving or whatever, but Christmas time and then maybe the summer, man, what a way to encourage them. To be hospitable to them. It may not be having them over. It could be maybe, hey, I'm going to take them out for ice cream. I'm going to take them out for coffee or something. But showing that hospitality, right? And I think, turn with me to Romans chapter 16. Look in Romans chapter 16 with me real quick. Romans chapter 16. And I'm going to use an illustration here, and I don't want you to take this too far, all right? Because some of you, I, as soon as I say this, you're going to be like, well, no, not me, right? But I want you to think about this, right? In Romans chapter 16, Romans chapter 16 is basically Paul just giving recommendations of people that have been faithful in the ministry, that he's saying, hey, this person has been faithful, and this person has been faithful, and this person's greeting you, and this person's greeting you, and these people love you, and he's just kind of talking about people here, right? But one couple that he specifically talks about here is Aquila and Priscilla. And he says in verse 3, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles, right? So he's specifically talking about Aquila and Priscilla, and he says, hey, I want you to greet them for us. Man, these people have been fellow laborers for the cause of Christ. And then notice what he says in verse 5. Likewise, greet the church, and notice this next phrase, that is in their house. So think about what this couple did. This couple took their home and they opened their home for the church. They didn't have church buildings and things like that there. And so many times, if they did not have a place to meet, there would be believers who would open their homes. And he says, this is what Priscilla and Aquila did. They opened their home so that the church could meet in their house. He said, likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Now, again, like I said, don't run too far with this. Some of you are like, I can't open my house to the church. I mean, I can't have a church. No, God's blessed us with a church building. I mean, praise God for that. But what the point I want to make is, and I think this is so important, our homes, right? Your house, where you live, right? Our homes ought to be used as an outreach ministry for the Lord. Our homes ought to be used to try to reach people with the gospel, right? This is what he's saying. Hey, they were opening their home for the church so that people could come and worship, but also so that unbelievers could come in, they could hear the gospel being preached. And again, I'm not saying you have to open your house for a church, right? But I'm saying we ought to be willing to use our homes as a ministry opportunity for the Lord. They would open their homes for churches. They would open their homes for fellowship and things. And this is something when you think about in Matthew chapter 22, of course, Matthew chapter 22, you've got the young man, the ruler that comes to Jesus. What is the greatest commandment? Jesus says what? The greatest commandment is to... Hasn't changed in 2,000 years. What's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Did you guys not know that was the greatest commandment? That's the greatest commandment, right? Love the Lord your God, right? But then he says the second is like unto it, right? The first commandment, the greatest commandment, is love the Lord your God. But the second, he says, is like unto it, which is what? Love your neighbor. But how does he say that? Somebody just said it. As yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Sometimes we get the love your neighbor part, but we don't get the as yourself part. Right? Love your neighbor as yourself. Have you ever been to a new church? You ever been to a new church, maybe on vacation or something, or maybe when you first came here, right? But I think we've all experienced it. When we go to a new church, you're kind of a little bit nervous because you don't know what to expect and things. But isn't it a blessing, you know, when you walk in the door and there's somebody there and they greet you and they're like, "Hello, we're so glad to have you today. My name is Andrew, and we're happy to have you today. Can I help you find a seat? Come on in here. And here's somebody's stuff. Let me just move that for you here. And I'm going to have a seat right here. You know, we're so glad to have you here, and we hope you enjoy the service. Where are you from?" She doesn't know. Okay, all right. But do you remember when you've been to the church too, that when you went in, where do we go? I guess everybody's going this way. I guess we go this way too. Oh, here's a seat. Nope, can't sit there. Nope, can't sit there. Well, I could sit there, but then I'd have to crawl over people. Nope, can't do that. Remember how uncomfortable that was? When did we stop looking at others the way we remember how we used to be? And again, we get in a rut, right? We get in a rut. And instead of thinking, "Oh man, I should move my stuff," or "Let me scoot in so that they can have the seats," right? Well, if they want to crawl over, they can crawl over. Because this is my seat. There's a visitor. Yeah, there up in front there's a seat. Way up there. Yep, yeah, you can have that one. Come on. We do it, right? You know what a rut is? You know what a rut is? It's a grave with both ends knocked out of it. That's what a rut is. We just stop living, really. We're just dead. We're just in a rut doing the same thing over and over and over, right? And we've got to be careful, because when we do that, guess what we stop being? We stop being hospitable. We stop thinking about others, because now who are we thinking about? Me. Me. Some of you and I said, "Hey, we ought to open up our homes and use our homes for ministry." Your first thought was, "Not a chance." there is no way I'm opening my home for other people. Now, wait a minute. Hold on. Why? Why not? Why wouldn't we open our home for people? I mean, did not God bless us with that home? God bless us with it. Why wouldn't we use that to try to reach people, right? I mean, usually people are going to feel comfortable at least coming to somebody's home, right? I mean, if you've got kids and they've got kids, you know, they can play with Legos. Your kids can play with the Legos. You know, you can sit at the table. You can talk, whatever. And he's saying, we've got to understand, as a Christian, if we're really going to show the love of Christ, it's not just, and look, I'm very thankful that when people come in, you know, I don't know that there's ever been anybody that said, nobody ever shook my hand, nobody ever said hello here. But it's more than just hello, glad you're here. Again, it's about showing the love of Christ, not just here, but even outside. And that's why he says we're to love your neighbor as yourself. We have to love our neighbors as ourselves. Think about the parable of the Good Samaritan. It teaches us what? About who our neighbor is. Is our neighbor just a specific race of people? Is it a citizenship? Is it a geography? No. That's what the Jews were trying to say was, well, our neighbors are only our countrymen. No, your neighbor's anybody. Your neighbor is anybody that you run across the path with, right? You think about different passages in the Bible where people showed hospitality. Think about in Luke chapter 10. What did Mary and Martha do? They opened their home. They opened up their home. You say, well, that was Jesus. Well, aren't we trying to show Jesus? If we're trying to show Jesus, shouldn't we maybe have that same idea? Mary and Martha, they opened up their home. In fact, if you'll find out, it was one of Jesus' favorite places to go. I wonder why. Maybe because they were hospitable. Maybe because the door was always open. What about back in 2 Kings? In 2 Kings chapter 4, Elisha came through, and what happened? The Shunammite woman is there, and she says, hey, you know what? I see the prophet of God going through all the time. You know, we ought to open our home. And not only should we open our home, let's add something onto our home that we can use to be a blessing to the man of God. And so what did they do? They actually built onto their house, they built a little room so that whenever Elisha was coming through, he knew he had a place to stay. What'd they do? They opened their home. And what happened? Think about it. In both situations, did God not bless the Shunammite woman? Did God not bless Mary and Martha? And maybe Lazarus a little bit too? You think? Lazarus, come forth! You see, the blessing came to those who were hospitable, who showed the love of Christ to others. The Good Samaritan, you think, all throughout Scripture, those that are showing the love of Christ, those that are being hospitable, those are the ones that receive the blessing. They were just simply being obedient to God and trying to show the love of God to others, but in return, what happened? God blessed them in return. So, let me just, and again, don't say this out loud. I'm not trying to put you on a guilt trip or anything. Well, maybe I am. But when is the last time you were hospitable? Don't say anything out loud, right? But think about it. When's the last time you were hospitable? And I'm not saying when's the last time you opened up your home, although I think, you know, hey, that's a great thing to do. You know, when we looked for a house, when we first came back to the States, we looked for a house. That was one of the requirements in looking for a house, was we wanted a place that was big enough so we could have people over. Why? Because our house is part of an outreach ministry. We want to have people in our house. People that visit the church, people that we don't know, we're gonna have them in our house, right? We wanted it to be used as a ministry, right? But it doesn't have to just be that. When's the last time you were hospitable? When's the last time you just... you know, hey, you want to grab a coffee, or hey, let's go out to eat together, or hey, let me move my stuff, and you can have my seat. See, we just go through the motions so many times, right? And this is why he's saying, as he's writing to these Hebrew believers, he's saying, hey, the very first thing, here's spiritual assignment number one, love one another. Because again, think about this. If you can't love one another, you're probably not going to be hospitable. That's why Peter, he said, above all, show charity. And then what did he say? Use hospitality. So we've got to follow the first assignment. We've got to say, hey, I've got to be willing to show the love of Christ, right? And showing the love of Christ is not just showing the love of Christ to people that I like. It's showing the love of Christ to everyone. It's loving everyone, right? And then what does he say, right? The assignment number two, here it is. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Be hospitable. Be hospitable. So here's the assignment this week, just like we talked last week. Assignment number one, love one another. I don't know what you did this past week to try to show love to somebody, but I hope you did. I hope you tried to show love to someone, right? Maybe somebody that you don't usually get along with. Maybe you started praying for them, or maybe you just tried to go up and encourage somebody, whatever. But assignment number two, he says, be hospitable. Be hospitable, right? You say, well, how can I do that? Well, first, I would say try it with people that you know. A little bit easier to do with people that you know, right? Try it with people that you know. Then branch out to people that you don't know. Hey, you see somebody here that's visiting, you see, hey, maybe they've come once or twice or three times. You're like, hey, I think they keep coming back a little bit. I don't really know them really well. Why don't you have them over? Invite them over for dinner sometime throughout the week, or invite them over Sunday after church or something. You say, well, I don't know them. Exactly. That's the whole point. You're having them over so you can get to know them, right? You want to get to know them. You're trying to show that hospitality, right? And again, here's the thing. When you do that, you'll be amazed at the blessing that you receive from it, that you get out of it, because you're trying to be a blessing to them and show the love of Christ to them and being hospitable. Again, that word hospitality, it means love of strangers. Love of strangers. But if I'm going to love strangers, it's going to be a whole lot easier if I'm able to love the people that I know first. So start with that, then branch out to people you don't know, right? Use hospitality. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 4. Use hospitality one to another. And this is what he says, without grudging. Without grudging. That means without, oh man, we got to have more people over. Man, I got to move my stuff so somebody else can sit down. Well, thank the Lord that somebody came and needed a place to sit. Right? Praise God that there's somebody that needs a place to sit. And if I have to move my stuff so they can sit, hey, praise God. That's great. That's wonderful. I remember when I first came, there was a Sunday school teacher that was here, and they left shortly after, but it broke my heart to hear what they had to say. And they said, we're leaving because there's too many new people coming. I don't think they understood hospitality. I don't think they understood loving one another, right? We're supposed to show the love of Christ to others. We're supposed to show the love of Christ. We're supposed to be hospitable. And man, if that means, hey, you need to move your stuff, or that means, hey, you got to scoot in so somebody else can sit on the outside, whatever, have somebody over, take somebody out, whatever. Be hospitable. This is a spiritual assignment that he's saying. This is what he's saying. Hey, you got to love one another. And number two, be hospitable. So here's the thing. How are you going to be hospitable this next week? And I'm not saying you've got, between now and next Wednesday, somehow you've got to be hospitable. But how are you going to start? Where are you going to start at? Figure something out, right? You know, hey, you say, hey, you know, sometime this month, we need to be hospitable to somebody. Sometime this month, we need to take somebody out, or we need to have somebody over, or I need to make sure that I find somebody in church that I don't know, and I'm going to go over and talk to them, and maybe you'll find out you got more in common with them than you'd ever even thought. But you'll never know until you're hospitable. So assignment number two, be hospitable. Father, I pray you'd help us, Lord, in this area. Lord, it's so important, Lord, just to show the love of Christ to others. as we love one another and then show that love to others through being hospitable. And Lord, you blessed those that were hospitable. We see it all throughout your word. And so, Father, I pray you help us not just to get in a rut, help us not just to get so focused on self that we just do what we're always doing Sunday after Sunday, week after week, and then we just don't even think about anybody else. But Lord, help us to love our neighbor as ourself. Lord, as we love you first, help us to show the love of Christ to others just as we would want to show have somebody show the love of Christ to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Brother Joel, why don't you come and share some prayer requests that have come in.